Happy Sabbath, everybody. Warren gave you a little bit of information about Maui. Yeah, that was all right. That we were kind of sorry that we had to come back when we did. Our wallets were empty, and we didn't have a choice in the matter. So, but anyway, it would have been nice to have a couple more days to dig your toes into the sandy beach and enjoy the warmth. Well, next year maybe. Well, I am filling in for Warren today. He called earlier in the week. His dad is seriously ill with age problems and so forth, and he hospitalized. And so anyway, that took up Warren and Hazel's time, and they asked me if I could do this. It's always, if I could just say no. But we don't do that. So for those of you that take notes and need a title, it is This One Thing I Do. Okay. And as I have mentioned at other times when I speak from here, that whatever I put together in the way of a message, it always begins with me. And so anyway, as I speak to you and give this message to you, I am also talking to myself. Well, while what I have prepared today applies to all age groups, so I am purposely desiring to aim it at the younger members who have the majority of their life still out in front of them. I mean, you never get too old to learn, okay, but still, if the younger members can gain something from this early on in life that will help them, we can thank God for that. Because His Word has so much to tell us about life. And I think that most of us realize that life is a series of making choices. We all make multiple choices every day. And so this afternoon we're going to take a look at some principles that kind of aid us and help us in making choices. So, first of all, what do? Well, the first thing is that we get on our knees and we go before God and we're asking Him for His wisdom, His guidance, and His input. And all through the book of Proverbs, we find that wisdom is available to us. It can be had. So we'll begin by reading in Proverbs 4, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 10. But it tells us, young men, listen to me as you would your father. Listen and grow wise, for I speak the truth. Don't turn away. For I, too, was once a son, tenderly loved by my mother as an only child and the companion of my father. He told me never to forget his words. He said, if you follow them, you will have a long and a happy life. Learn to be wise, he said, and develop good judgment and common sense. I cannot overemphasize this point. Cling to wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do, and with your wisdom, develop common sense and good judgment. If you exalt wisdom, she will exalt you. Hold her fast, and she will lead you to great honor, and she will place a beautiful crown upon your head. My son, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long and a good life. Well, scriptures have much to tell us in this regard. And again, this is what we're going to be looking at this afternoon. Now, many of us have already made very important choices in our life. And some of us today, because of the different ages, still have some serious choices to make. But all of us make choices. You know, there's the the small, we can say insignificant choices, but when you stop and think about it, they're not really insignificant, because if we can understand and have a running dialogue with him about the little things, that when it comes to the big ones, we're right there, because we know through the little answers that we get that gives us the strength in our faith to know that he's there, that we can trust him. And so when we have these big, almost huge decisions that come upon us from time to time, no question, he will show us the way, okay? So we need to make wise choices. And, some that early on in life, young man might, what job do I take? Or where and what house or apartment do we live in? Who do we marry? Or how or with whom do we invest our money? Or how can we effectively guide our children and our grandchildren? So, again, on a daily basis, we have decisions to make. And the choices that we make, brethren, determine the direction and the outcome of our life. As free moral agents, some decisions we make can have far-reaching consequences. And we need to understand, though, and the decisions that we make, they can determine our character, our destiny, and even have eternal consequences. So the choice is ours, because God will not force us to move in one direction or another. It's completely up to you and to me, the choices that we make, because that's the nature of free will. We have right and wrong choices, but God leaves the selection up to us. But we need to understand something here. On the decisions that we make, being them basically insignificant or the larger ones, every choice we make has consequences. Now, I think most of us can think of somebody, or maybe even ourselves, that can make a snap decision and really doesn't bother them. Then there are also those that procrastinate about decisions and they have great difficulty in making a decision, and so they stay in a state of indecision. So I thought, it would be helpful for some people, at least, if they had some kind of a process that they can go through to arrive at a decision, because not to make a decision is a decision. It isn't necessary to just procrastinate about decisions, but we need to know how to make decisions and make them wisely. Now, it's a no-brainer, but one of the mistakes people make is they make decisions without taking him into consideration, going to him. And Solomon, the writer of the book of Proverbs, warns us time and again about depending on man's wisdom rather than seeking God's wisdom. Now, I think particularly those of us that have been on the earth for a number of years, from our own experiences, we can look back at the negative consequences when we depended on our own knowledge and our own wisdom, so to speak, and when we've looked at man's perspective rather than seeking God's input and looking at things from his perspective. And so in Proverbs 28 and verse 26, it tells us, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is safe. He who trusts in himself is referring to the individual who relies on himself alone. He's apart from God. who simply trusted in his own knowledge and his own feelings and understanding. And quite frankly, this can be dangerous ground, people. Because if we trust only in ourselves, in our feelings, in our intellect, and so forth, in our circumstances, it can be deceiving and really it'll take us off course. Because you see, things are not always what they seem to be. We can be fooled and bamboozled by people in every walk of life, even by our own intuitions. So Solomon is telling us we need more than our own intelligence and our own feelings. He's telling us we need to walk in wisdom, and the wisdom we find in the book of Proverbs means God's wisdom and counsel. So what are some of the ways we can seek God's counsel? Well, it begins with exercising faith when we're trying to come up with a decision or a choice. Now, we said earlier that wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective, and Proverbs 2 verse 6 says, "It is the Lord who gives wisdom." And we know from James 1 and verse 3 that wisdom is a gift from God to those who ask him. It's telling us, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, it also says there in James 1 that he who lacks wisdom may ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. And so we see that wisdom is a gift from God to those that go to him and ask for it. And so if we lack wisdom, what we have to do then is, well, we go to God and we ask for his guidance and direction. And when in life, and I think all of us will have this experience at one time or another, but it's like we come to a fork in the road. It kind of stops it. Whoa. All right. Which way do I go? Left or right? Well, take it to him. The first things we do is in faith. We go to God and acknowledge the fact that we're feeling inadequate to make the right choice. We're coming to him seeking his advice and the wisdom and his guidance. And so his inspired word is telling us that he will give us wisdom if we ask for it in simple, childlike faith. And it's comforting to know that God gives wisdom to all who seek it and trust him for it. That's another subject in itself that we'll look at down the road. All right, now with that being said, it doesn't mean that we set aside our own knowledge and our own intelligence, or that we somehow kind of check our brain at the door, so to speak, and that we don't gather all the facts and the pertinent information that we need. Because God doesn't intend for us to do that. We need to understand that it's not then when we seek wisdom and guidance for God that he's going to lay out the whole plan for us. Or that we can expect, well, maybe there will be an email from him laying out all the schematics and the details of what we're supposed to do, and he's going to tell us exactly what he wants done. It doesn't work that way. I think if you remember back the account of when God talked to Abraham, he said, "Abraham, I want you to leave the country where you are right now, and I want you to go to a country and a city that you know nothing of." Now, he didn't tell Abraham where he was going. He didn't tell Abraham what the destination was. He just said, "Leave, get out from where you are." And as Abraham went along, God showed him where to go, one step at a time. Do we get that? He's not going to lay out the whole plan for us, one step at a time. And usually, he will show us the first step and then the next step. So we're asking God for his input and for his spirit to inspire the knowledge and intellect that we have so that we can have his perspective on whatever the matter is and thereby come up with the right decision. So that brings us to another step in the process, and that is gathering all the facts. Step one, seek God's wisdom. Step two, get the facts. That's what Sergeant Friday said, wasn't it? Just getting the facts, man. So in Proverbs 13:16, it says, every prudent man acts out of knowledge. In other words, we're not to make decisions out of ignorance. We're not to assume that what people tell us is the truth. We need to get all the facts we can regarding the decision that we're about to make. And also Proverbs 18, verse 13 tells us, what a shame, how stupid to decide before knowing all the facts. Now, I think we all realize that Solomon, who wrote all this, was many things in his time. A businessman, a writer, poet, a king. He was leader of people and of a nation. It was important for him to know and to have all the facts about all the many decisions that he had to make, and he knew that he had to seek God's perspective in those things. And in fact, if you remember that when God said to him, he says, I will give you anything that you want. Do you remember what he asked for? Wisdom. But that didn't mean that Solomon didn't read, or that he didn't study, or that he didn't learn or gain the facts about whatever it was that he was dealing with. In fact, when we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, he tells us that he learned everything he could about every situation. He was all about learning. And when it comes to making serious decisions, we need to follow his example. So in every decision before us, we're to get all the facts. Again, Proverbs 23, verse 23 tells us, get the facts at any price. In life, situations that come up where it's easy to get overly enthusiastic. I mean, we really get jacked up about something and we want to get on with it and so forth, which in turn generally raises the emotions. And then a decision can be made when we're in such an emotional heightened state. There, I would say that's bad timing. Heightened enthusiasm and feelings are not enough to base your decisions upon. It's very important that you slow down and take the time to gain the facts. You know, many people get married or choose a career or go to college or a university or make important decisions based on emotions and feelings without really knowing all the facts about it. And again, misguided feelings and emotions can take you totally off course. So the point is, we need to gather all the facts before making a choice. Okay. Another step, step three, that we might consider is, and it's a good one, consult with your friends. Now, when I say that, I'm speaking of friends whose lives are firmly focused on Jesus Christ, because many times God will speak to us through such people. And there's nothing wrong when we are faced with making a choice, and it's an important decision, with seeking out godly counsel. But there again, we need to be aware that even our well-intended Christian friends can give us bum advice. So, now in Proverbs 20 and verse 18, it tells us the more advice you get, the more likely you are to win. True. Scripture tells us that there is wisdom in the multitude of counselors, and it's better to learn from the experience of others than from our own experiences. Because really, when you live long enough, you realize that life is too short to have always learned by trial and error. I speak from experience, okay? If we can learn from the mistakes of others, then we have a leg up on the situation. So if we consult with our friends, or if we look to successful people in a particular field and consult with them and learn from them as much as we can in making a choice, then I think we're exercising wisdom there. Now, God uses other people many times that can inform us about our own choices and help us to compile the information we need to make a successful decision. Obviously, other people can't choose for us, but sometimes God will use godly people to inform us about our choice or to help us with the facts or even tell us some of their life experiences that will help us to avoid making a mistake. Proverbs 18, verse 15 tells us, "Counsel in the heart of men is like a deep well, but a man of understanding will draw it out. The intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them." There's going to be times when we think that, well, if we ask all these questions, we're going to appear rather stupid, you know? But the reverse is actually true. Asking questions is not a sign of stupidity or dumbness or whatever. It's really, you're exercising wisdom. It's the wise person who asks questions about the things he doesn't know about when he consults with others. Now, again, it would be better to appear stupid and ask questions than not to know or gain the answers that you're looking for. So it's a very good thing to consult with friends and acquaintances that are in the field of interest that you're considering or have a need to understand. All right. Something else for our consideration here that's important in making choices, and this is important. Concentrate on your focus. Proverbs 17:24 says that an intelligent man aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. So concentrate on your choice. And of course, there's an old saying that says you can only chase one rabbit at a time. And that's a fact. Because life is full of decisions, but we can only make one choice at a time. We can handle only one problem at a time, one decision at a time. So we need to concentrate, rather, and get focused on what it is that we want to accomplish. So you might ask yourself, what's the most important choice in your life right now that has to be made? Or what's the most important decision that you have to make now? And when you think about it, do you remember what Paul said in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14? He said, "This one thing I do," he said. And of course, he's talking about serving Jesus Christ, and he was making sure his priorities were right, that Christ was the Lord of his life. And then he goes on to say, "Forgetting all the things that are behind me and looking forward to the things that is ahead of me, I press forward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So he's telling us, this one thing I do. Now, an intelligent person aims for wise decisions. Again, a fool starts off in many directions. Thinking, this one thing I do, is a clear-cut goal. Concentrate on that goal and be willing to take some risks to achieve it. And once we have set that goal, you don't take your eyes off of it. So you remember what it said in Hebrews 12 and verse 1. This wonderful verse tells us about the running of the race of a Christian life, where it tells us, "Seeing therefore that we are encompassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us therefore run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." With our eyes set upon Christ, looking to him, this one thing I do. And the same thing applies to our making decisions. With our eyes set on the goal that's before us, until that choice is made, until that problem is resolved, this one thing I do, having concentrated focus. You know, there is the thing about relationships and choices. It's always easier to get in than to get out. Once we make the commitment and we're in, we're in. And so that's the importance on concentrating on the decision. That's why it's so important to take the time and effort to gain all the facts we must have to make a right decision, because once we've made the decision, we have, in a sense, set the course. And we must finish the course. And so we must concentrate and focus on the decision. So let's look again at what Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 12, where he tells us, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me upward in Christ Jesus." No, we're talking about taking calculated steps for making wise decisions. One more, number 5. Calculate the factors. That is, what's it going to cost? Proverbs 20 and verse 5 tells us, "It's a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows." So what is the cost of this decision? What are the consequences of it? What is it going to cost me to make this choice? So there are some things that we need to consider here. Is it a need or is it a want? Is it really necessary? Is it a priority? Those are important things to consider. What will it cost? What will it cost in time? What will it cost in resources? What will it cost in commitment? And then we need to ask, what will I gain or lose by making a decision and entering this course of action? Are the profits and the potential worth the cost? Those are things that are absolutely essential to consider when making a decision. Now, something to consider here and that we need to be aware of. It's best to put off or postpone making decisions when you are physically or emotionally drained. There will be times when people or circumstances will squeeze you to make a decision when you're not really prepared to make a decision. Maybe that's what's happening in some of your lives right now. Maybe someone or something is pressing you to make a decision that's important and you're not up to it right now. No, this is important. We should refrain from any decisions when we are physically or emotionally depleted, because that's the time when we're not thinking clearly and we could make a mistake. Because you see, in making serious decisions, we need all of our faculties when doing so, in making decisions. We need to be physically and emotionally alert. And many times when we're pressed to make a decision and we're feeling down on all fronts, I mean really down, we give in and make a decision we wouldn't have if we were up to dealing with it. And so we can't allow our emotions to cause us to compromise our values. And another thing, do not, and I repeat, do not make a decision when you are depressed. Obviously, when you're depressed or when you're feeling down, again, it's too easy to give in to outside pressures. Maybe it's somebody you love, or somebody who has their own self-interest at heart, and when you're feeling down at the time, and I've been there, you figure, oh, crap, what's the use? And it's easier to give in than to fight it. And so the choice is made, and later, the consequences of your decision are not to your liking. It's not what you wanted. And you have to live with the consequences. So don't make a decision when you're feeling down for any reason, because you can't think rationally when you're discouraged. Because people can and will take advantage of you and push you into a decision that you would not ordinarily make. So, calculate the factors involved. And are you physically and emotionally ready to make this decision? Now, many people make decisions about their careers, their education, jobs, their business, relationships, when they are in no shape at all to make these decisions. And what does Christ tell us? It's in the book. Count the cost. No man builds a tower unless he first counts the cost of building the tower. He said, if any man comes after me and doesn't count the cost, then he is like a man who builds the tower and doesn't count the cost of building the tower. And he gets the tower half built and he runs out of money, and the people come by and they laugh at him because they see the state of the building, that he couldn't build the rest of it because he didn't calculate, he didn't do his all the brain work that he needed. He didn't count the cost. So he's telling us to be sure you can finish what you start before you make the decisions. So again, calculate all the factors involved. All right, so as we look at the subject of making choices this afternoon, we also need to take into consideration, and I hope you realize, that we have an adversary out there that wants to destroy us. And he can get to us by working through other people. 1 Peter 5:8 is familiar to you. Be alert, be aware, for Satan as a roaring lion seeks whom he may devour. The whom is us. And he can come to us in any form, even like an angel of light. So we have to be spiritually charged and on our toes and be aware that we have an enemy that is absolutely relentless. He's not going to turn you loose or me. And so Proverbs 20 verse 18 says, don't go charging into battle without a plan. I'll add to that, have a plan B also. It's good to have a backup. Proverbs 22 and verse 3, let's look at this one. A sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks for problems ahead and suffers the consequences. So, in our dealings, wherever they are, out in the world, we need to think about the strength of the enemy. Anything we attempt can have its problems, and our adversary will see to it. Because, you know, and I think we realize that he knows more about us than we know about ourselves. He knows our weak points, yours and mine. And I think that even the youngest of you are beginning to be aware of the fact that life is not without problems. There always seems to be obstacles and stumbling blocks in our path. And so we should keep in mind that Satan never sleeps and will attack anything big that we attempt, anything that we enter into, our relationships, anything that's of importance in our life. And we cannot allow that to discourage us and keep us from making a decision, because it says, greater is he that's in you than that's in the world. We don't think about, some people don't think about that. We need to. Just know, however, that there will always be an adversary, and anticipate the problem of how you're going to deal with it through the strength and the power that God will give you. That's not being negative, that's simply being realistic. Knowing that everything we attempt has the potential of being attacked by Satan. Whether it's building a business, building a marriage or a relationship, or building a life, It's always going to be under attack by him, Satan. And sadly, you know, some people are fearful of life. There's no need to be. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, "Fear of a man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be kept safe." So, point seven. Stand our ground and confront our fears. Now, all of us have experienced fear to one degree or another. Fear is something that has had to be dealt with ever since the beginning of, well, the Garden of Eden anyway. You go back there and Adam and Eve, when they were bamboozled by Satan, and the next thing we see Adam saying, he says, "Well, I was afraid and I hid." Sin brought that fear. And so since that time, mankind has been afraid of making decisions, afraid of not making decisions, afraid of living, afraid of dying, afraid of imagined enemies, afraid of many things. There are many fears that man has when confronted with making decisions. Afraid of rejection. Well, nobody's going to like me or accept me. Nobody's going to approve of me if I do this or that. Or there's the fear of failure. Some of us are experienced with that one. If I make this decision and I goof up, I'm going to fail. That's going to show that I'm not good enough, that I don't have what it takes. Then what are people going to think? Well, I could tell you what I thought about that, but I can't speak it from here. I don't care what people think. I did. I used to practically stand on my head and wiggle my ears to get people's approval. You know something? It only made the top of my head sore. The fear of the Lord is a good fear, because it isn't the cringing or the nail-biting type. That fear is about having a healthy respect for God and to believe in his power, that he exists, and that he rules and he reigns over all things. Proverbs 14 and 26. "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death." You know, that's quite a contrast. The fear of man is the trap, and the fear of God is the fountain of life and a refuge. And with a healthy fear of God comes acceptance. We can accept ourselves. And we can rejoice in the fact and the understanding that we are accepted by God. Some of you aren't there yet. The fear of God brings security and success and prosperity. And it brings a strength and confidence, because when we fear God, we don't have to fear anything or anybody. And brethren, that is a fact. And that's the amazing thing about having a healthy respect and fear of God. Because when we have that fear and that respect and stand in awe of him, we can be assured that he will always be with us. He's in charge, and he'll provide security for us. We trust him, and because we trust him and commit our life to him, he has made a way for us, for all of us. All right, now, before we wind this up today, there is something else that we need to know, and I mentioned before about standing your ground. So when we come to the time we have arrived at a decision, the next thing we do is to confidently move forward. Get moving. In Hebrews 11:6, we're told, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because when anyone comes to him, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Now, quite frankly, I think that's a great verse for us, because now we can confidently move forward in faith in God. And when we have faith in him, it says he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, when we are in sync with God, he loves to reward and bless our faithfulness, even the decisions and the choices that we make. If, you know, granted that you're in sync with him. And through his grace, he forgives us and picks us up when our decisions don't come out right. You know, if we turn to him and seek his wisdom and believe, it says that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Now, we had the children here today. You know, in families, we want our children and our grandchildren to look to us. We don't want them to be aloof or feel afraid of us. We want them to look at us and to trust and believe in us and to know that we love them and that we desire to reward them. And while our human love is finite, God's love is infinite, and he loves to give and reward so much more than we do. Now, considering the steps and the points that we covered this afternoon, we already know we're not going to follow them perfectly. They're simply guidelines, but God rewards us when we make the best choices and the decisions that we can in faith, when we're trusting him, because faith pleases God more than anything else. And I guess that's the most important thing I can say to you today, brethren. Faith pleases him more than anything else. You know, when we step out in faith, when we're seeking his perspective, seeking his wisdom, seeking his strength, and we are trusting him completely, God is pleased. You know, and he rewards us in so many ways for our faith, for our complete trust and dependence on him as our Savior. He's our provider, our sustainer, our healer. He is, actually, our everything of what we need in this life and on into the next. And we can count on him to be there for us when we're in need, guiding us, encouraging us, loving us, strengthening us. And when we screw up and we make mistakes, and we will, when we turn to him, when we look up at him, he'll lift us up as a living Father and comfort us. That's right. That's the way it is. Because you see, people, our whole life is in his hands. Each of us, at some point in time in our life, we're called of God to participate in his work here on earth and to be involved in an absolutely fantastic spiritual journey. You know, a little digression here. At the piece, one of the fellows gave a sermon that about a misunderstanding about, you know, where we have too many brethren. Not we have them here, we have them throughout the United Church of God, that are essentially chewing on their fingernails and they're sweating it out, afraid that they're not going to make the kingdom. To that I say, stop that. Don't do that. It shows a lack of faith, because we cannot work our way into the kingdom. Philippians 1 and verse 6 says, God who began a good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. That's a promise, people. And what is it about this verse that you don't understand? There was one very important decision that we've made already, and that was when we chose to surrender our life to Him. That was undoubtedly the wisest decision that we will ever make in our life. So we don't have to fear what man can or will do to us, because God has promised. And let me repeat that. God has promised that He will meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And all I can say is, wow. How great is that? So relax, people. Stop sweating and enjoy the journey, okay?